Okay, so let's talk about the parshas, parshas VaYikra, and in Yitzhak Hashem, the next 2 weeks we will specialize in the Haggadah and in Pesach. So now we'll start this beginning of Sefer VaYikra. VaYikra El Moshe, V'yedaber Hashem Elov Me'ol Mayed Lemar. And Hashem calls to Moshe, and we know from the little Aleph that Moshe is an Onav, because Hashem wanted to write VaYikra the way it's written. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, no, that's too much kavod. I want it the way you talk to Bilam when it says V'yikra without an aleph. So it seems they compromised and made a little aleph. And what's interesting is you take a look in by Matan Torah, it says a few times V'yikra Hashem al Moshe. And it doesn't have a little aleph. So what's the pshat? So I saw a pshat that by Matan Torah, where it was public, it was Barabim. So Moshe Rabbeinu had to, you know, he was the head, he was the leader, and you have to go with the Tachsis and Malchus. You have to act in a certain way. But here it's in private. Hashem speaking in private. In private already, he can be the humble person that he really is. Vayikra al Moshe v'yidabr Hashem elov me'ol moed lemor, dabr al bnei Yisrael v'amart aleim, speak to the bnei Yisrael and say to them, Odom ki yakriv mikem korban l'Hashem. When a person will offer a korban to Hashem, min ha-behema, min ha-bokar, min ha-tzayim. Takrivas karbanchem. And the question is, why does it have this funny lashon, ki yakriv mikem korban, when he'll be makriv from you a korban? It should say, the normal way you speak is, Adam ki yakriv korban, when a man will give a korban. So I saw, and we're going to say today from the Masakar, that he says that the minig in Klal Yisrael is that when they start little boys learning, they learn Vayikra, is the first thing that they learn. The minig is in Klal Yisrael, they learn Vayikra. So the question is, why Vayikra? You know, take it from the beginning, right? Take it from the top. So the Pardes Yosef explains that the reason is because it wants to teach you that when you learn Torah and you want to be a Jew, you have to be willing to sacrifice. It's not always going to come easy. You're going to have to work hard at it. You're going to have to bring yourself as a korban sometimes in order to be able to learn Torah and to be a Yid. When you walk down the street and you look different than everybody, you're bringing a korban. You're being different, and people might treat you differently. You're bringing a korban. Everything we do in life is a korban, is bringing us closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu by sacrificing ourselves. And therefore it says, Adam ki yakriv mikem korban. Not just that you're going to bring a korban, but you're going to bring from yourself a korban. You're going to bring that you're going to be willing to sacrifice in order to come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there's a beautiful story that they tell. And this is the story which has in it really a story that one person said one sentence, and as they say, the shot heard round the world, for those of you who know a little bit of Revolutionary War history. So in the same way, anybody know what the shot heard around the world was?
The first shot that
Lexington started. Lexington, when they first started the Revolutionary War. Okay, just a little, you know, history lesson. So this is the words that were heard around the world, which changed world history. One sentence of one person can change the world, and you'll see the story. Rav Meir Shapiro is the great founder of the Daf Yomi. And when he started, he said like this. He said the following. He said there's a Gemara in the Dorim, Daf Pei Aleph, that says, Yizar mi bnei aniyim shemehem teitze Torah. The Gemara tells, be careful of the children of the poor, because from them Torah will emanate. Why is that? Why are poor people, children, have a leg up, so to speak? And the answer is because the parents sacrifice for the Torah. It doesn't come easy. They have to struggle to pay tuition. They have to, as we'll see in the another story, they have to struggle for everything that they do to raise children that will learn Torah. And therefore, the children absorb that Mesiras Nefesh. They absorb that Yakriv Mikem Korban. And therefore, the children themselves become better because of that, because of the sacrifices that their parents had to make. Ki al kein mischanchem ha'yelodim lahavit. The children understand as chashivus haTorah. They understand how important Torah is to their parents that they sacrifice for them. How many times do we tell our children, you know, which money I pay for your tuition, you better study hard, right? Because it's not free. It's not public school. You don't get it for free. If you get it for free, you treat it as something for free. By us, you have to pay for it. You have to pay for it. You feel it's important. Your parents sacrificed for you. So Rav Meir Shapiro told a story about himself, that when he was a child, one night, in the middle of the night, he hears crying coming from the kitchen, sobbing coming from the kitchen. And he runs out to investigate, and there's his mother sitting by the table, and she's crying. And he says, Ima, ma kara, what happened? What's happening? So in the middle of her tears, so she says, Meirke, I'm crying because we promised the Malamed 300 rubles to teach her for half a year. And really, we can't afford more. And the Malamed didn't show up today. So I'm worried we didn't offer him enough money. But I don't know what to do because I can't offer more money because I don't have more. We don't have more. That's like the mass. So what should I do? How should I? We're lost and I'm just crying because I feel so terrible about it. So he didn't know. He's trying to think, how do I calm my mother down? How do I say the right words? And he says to her, he says, listen, Ma, Mitzvah Shem will come tomorrow. Maybe just today he couldn't make it. You know, he didn't feel well. Right?
He why got delayed. Why didn't he call up and let her
they
know?
Don't have, in those days, I'm afraid, I hate to tell you, but
they didn't have phones.
They didn't even have texting. They didn't even have WhatsApp, nothing. It's hard to believe, but there were days like that, you know. I think we remember them.
No, there was telegrams.
I guess he couldn't afford a telegram. In any case, whatever the story was, the Malamed didn't show up.
Right.
So she was worried, probably correctly, didn't show up because they weren't paying him enough money. So the mayor says, Mom, tomorrow he'll come. So she looks at him and she says the words that he says penetrated his heart, and these are the words that changed the world. And what about the Torah learning that you missed today? You missed a day of Torah learning. That's gone forever and will never come back. It'll never come back. That Torah learning will come back. Once the day is lost and you didn't learn the Torah, you can learn double the next day, but you still lost that day's Torah. Mm-hmm. That day is gone forever. And he says, and that penetrated into his heart. And he said, that's how chashuv every single day's Torah is. Not just how much you learn, but every day that you're learning, that makes a difference. And because of that, he says, that's how he got the idea for the Daf Yomi. That's the Daf Yomi. So the Daf Yomi, Mitzvah, we're coming now. We're going to be celebrating the 13th cycle of the learning Daf Yomi every 7.5 years. It's going to be a major celebration, as there was every single time, Baruch Hashem, that we've been zeichet to be involved in. They'll be coming up January 1st, 2020. Put it on your calendar. But all of that came out, all of this, millions and millions and millions of hours of Torah learned, all came out because she cried and said, but Meirke, what's going to be with the Torah that we lost from learning today?
That made him understand that every day means something.
That's when he says, Meir Shapiro, that's where he got the idea for the Daf Yomi. So all of this came because of a mother's cry of what will be every day counts. And that's, he said, every single day, the Torah. And the fact that I'll learn tomorrow, and I'll learn double tomorrow, it still doesn't make up the fact that I didn't learn and I didn't have that Torah from today. So he tells a nice story. There was a child, his name's Rebleib Kalmanovitz. So when he was a child, so his parents were mamash, you'll see they were mamash tzaddikim. His parents, Reb Osher and his wife, and they worked very hard that he should be able, they didn't have much money, and they were poor, but they worked very hard that he should be able to learn, and he should be able to have a Torah education. So Baruch Hashem, the day came when he was going to start learning Gemara, and the Malamed said that they have to buy him a Gemara Bav Metzia. That's the Gemara that they were learning. So he said, you're going to have to learn Bav Metzia. So they went, they didn't know what to do. They said, well, they don't have the money to buy a Gemara. A Gemara is a very expensive thing, especially in those days, people have very little money. And a Gemara could be a lot. So they didn't know what to do. So they sort of left it open. They didn't come to a conclusion. So that night, Reb Osher thought about it, the father thought about it, and he decided he's going to take his chasen watch, or his bar mitzvah watch, then he's going to pawn the watch, and with that money he'll go and he'll buy the Gemara for his son, because the son's Torah, Reb Leibel, was worth so much to them, he was going to pawn the watch, he was going to buy it. Okay, so he pawns the watch, and he goes to the Sfarim store by Reb Aaron, the name of the Sfarim dealer, and he comes in by Reb Aaron, Meicher Sfarim, and he says, here's the money. And as he walks in, he sees who's standing talking to Reb Aaron, the Meicher Sfarim, his wife. So he says, what are you doing here? She says, you know, I couldn't sleep last night. I decided I'm going to sell the scarf that your mother, El Hashem, gave me for our chasana, that beautiful scarf, expensive scarf. I'm going to pawn the scarf, I'm going to sell it, and I'm going to buy the Bav Metzia for our son. So he says they both came to the conclusion that it was worth giving up an heirloom that had been in their mishpacha all the years in order to be able to give to the son Torah, that he should learn Torah with so chashuv. So she says, so he says to her, wait a second, you can't buy it for him. I'm the father. It's my chiyuv to learn Torah, to teach Torah. So I get to buy it. You don't, I have the schus. So she says back to him, that's not right. It says, I'll teach us Torah simeacha. A child, the mother's Torah is supposed to be what he's imbibing from. So yeah, I get to pay for it. So they got started to having a little bit of a shalom bias issue over who should pay for it. So Rabban the Meicher Sfarim says, he saw what was going on. He said, this is going to go on forever. He says, listen, I have an idea. Why don't you split it? Each one will pay half. So they say, oh, that's a very good idea. Okay, we'll each pay half. So fine. So they each take the money, they pay half, and he takes the sefer, he's putting it into the bag, and then the father says, okay, I'll take it and give it to Meir. Because it says, I'm the father, and it's my price to teach the son. And she says, what do you mean? I'll teach his Torah Simecha. I should be the one to bring him the sefer. So once again, Rav Aaron Meicher Sfarim comes to the rescue, and he says, I have an idea. Why don't you each grab onto the sefer? You'll take it home together. And that's what they did. So they saw him in the streets of Yerushalayim, I guess, walking, each one holding onto the sefer, because they should be able to give it to their son. So he said, can you imagine what a Talmud Chacham, this Reb Leib, grew up, Kalmanovich, is probably, and the Reb Asher Kalmanovich, Leib Kalmanovich, even the Rosh Hashiva today is the Reb Asher Kalmanovich, and that was a grandfather, great-grandfather, and Reb Leib was his brother. So you see this Indian, Adam Yikiyakim Yikem Karban, that in, when it comes to Torah, Hashem says, I want it from you, a Karban. It's not enough just to put an animal on the Mizbeach, but you have to sacrifice yourself for Torah, and these were the people who showed us the way, that had such obvious attire that independently they couldn't sleep all night, and independently they went and hacked things, independently they went to the Meicher Sfarim, and together they bought into safer. So we see this in him. Okay, let's move on a little bit into another part, and this is something that no matter how many times you learn Seder, this is where Talmid Chachamim come in and help us. Take a look in Pasuk Hey. It starts talking to us about the different karbanos. So this parsha is all about the karbanos by Yikra. So the first karban that it says over here is we said mina bakar and mina tzoyin. So the first one talks about the bakar, right? Im oila karbana mina bakar, zakar tamim yakvena, talks about the karban oila. And then it tells us how to prepare it. And then at the end, if you go on to Pasuk Zion, it says v'nosim ne arna kayin, Eish al mizbeach, v'orchu eitz al eish, they put an eish on the mizbeach, they put fire. V'orchu b'nei aron ha-kayhanim, n'esochim, n'es ha-roish, n'es ha-poder, al eitzim, al sher al mizbeach. And then Pasuk Tes says, v'kirbo ukra'ov, its innards and its feet, yirchatz b'mayim, you should wash it in water. And it uses the lashon of kirboi ukra'ov, his innards and his feet. Now if you take a look, when it talks about minat soin, four psukim later, it says vaker vakrayim. It doesn't say in his innards and his feet. It just says and the innards and the feet. Cry. You should wash
the knees, right?
The knees or the feet, the legs. Yeah, they translate his feet actually. Yeah. Surprise, it translates feet in the art school at least. But it could be the knees, the legs, and part of the haker vakrayim yirchatz b'mayim. You should wash in water v'yikar v'kayim. So the question is why the first time it says you should wash his, and the second time it says you should just wash it. Now, this is, you can remember Seder from Hanpes Morgan, this type of thing that Yini Talmud Chacham really looks in his Medayik and notices a difference. So the Meforshim explained that what it means is that before you wash someone else's inside, so to speak, wash your own insides. Be careful of what you're doing. Never go and chastise somebody else or try and correct somebody else until you're sure that you've been corrected yourself. And he brings, I'll just say three things here, very short things. He brings from Meir Chodesh that one of the Rebbeim was telling him that I'm trying to work with the Talmidim, and I keep helpfully pointing out everything they're doing wrong, and I tell them off, and I'm saying, I don't know, they don't listen to me, they're not listening, what should I do? So listen to what Rebbe Meir Chodesh answered him. He says, that's Alech Ledas, you should know, Ki Aderech Yeshur Banitin Lechanat Talmidim, how should you be Lechanat Talmidim? Ain't al yidei teichachas. It's not through giving teichacha. Anu bechlal otzrichim la'avid al tamidenu. We don't have to work on our tamidim. We have to work on ourselves. And if we work on ourselves, and what left over from us, what comes off of us, the Talmidim will see it. And truly it's true. The Talmidim, the best Rebbeim, and the ones that everyone loves, are the ones, may not even give them Taichacha, but they act in such a way that their very being is Taichacha. Their very being, they're saying, I have to be like this person, I want to be like that person. And if I'm not, you know, internally, I'll do it. He brings from the Dubna Magid, says he was by his Rebbe, by the Vilna Gaon, and he asked him this question, Eze derech yavo ha-shefa, what's the best way to bring shefa, what's the best way to impact your Talmidim? So the Gaon says, I'm giving you a mashal of a pot. If you have a big pot, and there are little pots all around it, you know how you fill the little pots up? You go and you put a flame under the big pot, and the big pot comes excited, right? The big pot boils, and it falls over the edge, and all the little pots get filled. He says, that's the way a Rebbe has to teach a Talmud. If the Rebbe is excited, if the Rebbe sees the value of the Torah, then they will see it too. If not, it's not going to penetrate their hearts. It won't get them. Whatever he says will not get there. It's only who he is that will get to them. And the last thing is a nice story from Rav Shach. Rav Shach was asked to speak at a certain kinnis, to go to a certain place to speak. So now, we know that there's a thing, you know, called the Jewish time, right? So if you call something for 7, and you show up at 7, you know, you're going to spend some lonely time by yourself. So they called it for 7, let's say, and everybody else walks in at 7:30, 7:45, whenever they come in. And they were shocked to see Rav Shach sitting there. Because Rav Shach had come at 7 o'clock, exactly as he said he would. So they went over to him, they said, Rebbe, you know that when we said 7 o'clock, we meant 7:30. We didn't mean 7 o'clock. So why'd you come at 7 o'clock? So listen to what Shach said, and this is Mamish the lesson here.
Somebody might come on time.
No, he didn't say that. He knew that nobody's coming on time. That would have been my answer. But Rav Shach said like this, Zmani afu yor, they said, Rebbe, your time's so valuable. Why did you do it? He says, my time, you're right, it's valuable. Ki yidu lechem bevadei. Ulam afu bikein lo yocholti laharshas la'atzmi. La'acher afil breg. I couldn't come a minute late because my topic is about the value of shiurim and I have to come on time. You could die to literature bifneichem al chayves ha'diuk va'kpada azmani ha'shiurim. That you have to make a shiur. If you make a shiur for a certain time, that's when the shiur should start. It should go a certain time, and that's when it should end. We're not always so good at that. But that's what Rav Shach said. I have to come on time, because I can't be a hypocrite. If I'm going to come late, then how am I going to tell you to give you a shiur in coming on time? So a person has to be, and that's what he said. So the lesson that we're learning, this important lesson, is v'kirbu karayim. First wash your own insides, your own feet, so to speak. Take care of yourself, and then you'll be ready to try and impart to others. But ultimately, the way to do it is that they'll see you, and they'll see how you're doing it, and then they will be inspired, and then they will come to the same lesson and the same understanding themselves, and that will change who they are forever. And that's the difference. So we learned a little bit about Rav Meir Shapir. We told the story of Rav Meir Shapir, how the Daf Yomi got started, what the Ryan was, that every day is valuable, Hayoim, every single day means something, and you can't miss a day. And now we're talking about how the way to be mechana, to give over to others, is by setting an example. As the pasuk says, "Yiskayshu v'kayshu, kshayt asvaka kshayt achem." First, fix yourself up, then fix others up. There is nothing worse than somebody who gives musr when that person is, and people pick it up. So a parent who turns to a child and says quiet in the middle of davening, so the child immediately knows whether or not that is a talking parent or not a talking parent. And if it's a talking parent, he's not listening. He's not getting anywhere. There's so many chazals that stress this point. But the bottom line is that it was geshmak, though, seeing it in the psukim of Yirchatz as krov.
No, you're not finished. Are you
finished? No, we're good. We're going to go to the end of the part.
No, because okay. You okay. Just said that.
We're going to keep the time. No, we're going to keep going. Okay, let's move on. Now let's move.
Okay. When I was in high school, I went to a Shabbaton in Cleveland. I'll never forget it. That was the theme. Kishon Atzmacha. In fact, I could sing a few, but I thought.
Yeah, right. Okay, it's an important theme. It's a very important theme.
Yeah.
And you know, it's one of those things that is obvious, and everybody knows it, and everybody forgets it. So it's the type of thing that we can always chazer over and remind about the inconsistencies in our own behavior, which is very hard for us to see. That's why we said many times, it says, "Asei lecha rav uknei lecha chaver." Make for yourself a rav and buy for yourself a chaver, which is mashu that the chaver has more value than even the rav to the person, because he should spend money for it. So what did we say the pshat is? Because when a person's in front of the rav, he's on his best behavior. He's always acting because he doesn't want the rav to think poorly of him. But when he's in front of his chaver, that's when he lets his hair down, so to speak, and he is who he is. So the person who can give him the best teichacha is the chaver. The friend can give him better teichacha than the rav, because the rav's not aware of the things going on, but the chaver is. So the chaver is there, and that's why it's so important to have a chaver, because he can give you teichacha, because ultimately we cannot see our own movement, right? Ain't Adam, once we're doing chazals, ain't Adam raya nigei atzmo. A person cannot see his own naga, which is a halacha, but it's a musa. The halacha is because a person has in saras, even a kayan can't do his own naga, somebody else has to do it for him, but also means that a person doesn't see his own faults, and therefore you need other people to help them point it out to you, but you need somebody who's a chaver, because anybody else, you'll bristle, you'll get very defensive. A chaver who you feel really has your best interests in mind, as we said, the word chaver, the word chibur, from two people attached to each other, attached and connected to each other, that chibur brings people together, and therefore you can trust him, and you don't feel as defensive when he might point out something's wrong. So if he tells you you're doing something, you'll say, I appreciate it. Whereas if somebody else tells you, like the Rav tells you, you're going to get defensive because you don't want to be in a bad light with somebody. Okay, let's move to the end of the parasha. So the end of the parasha moves on, and it says like this. Let's learn a free psukim. We'll go to page 296, so we can learn the end. It'll be nice to learn the end of the parasha, because it's not something people usually are familiar with. Nefesh ki sechet u'mola mal b'Hashem. A person does a chet, and he sins against Hashem. Kichish b'misai, he denies something. B'pikadim, he denies having a pikadim, having a guarantee. Oy b'sumas yod, oy b'gezol, oy ashak es amisa, or he defrauds his neighbor. Oy matza aveda v'kichish ba, or he finds an aveda and he denies it. V'nishbal sheker, he swears falsely. Alach mikol asher yasa, adam lach davein, all things that people, unfortunately, do chatoim, because it's all of these are no gave probably to the person's pocket. V'hoya, and here we go. Ki yechet v'ashem, when a person will sin and do something in iniquity, v'heshev es gzeila asher gaza, and he will return the gzeila that he stole. O es aishik asher ashak, or the fraud that he defrauded. O es bikadim asher hifkin, or the guarantee that he took. Ita with him, or Saveda Shermatsa the Vedi found. Oy recall Asha Yeshava, and then we go through what the halach is. Okay? And then the chibal of a kain, he has to bring a korban, and Hashem should give him forgiveness, and he has to do tshuva. So I saw by Mordechai Kamenetsky, he has a very good question. It says, what's all of these double lashons? He should return the theft that he stole. Oh yes, Oishik Asher Oshik, or the fraud that he defrauded. Or the Pikadon Asher Hafkad, or the Pikadon that he took as a Pikadon. Why all the double lashon? Why do you have to say it twice? It should say, he should return the Gzela. Why does it say the Gzela that he stole? We know he stole the Gzela, right? Return the theft that you theft, that you stole. Same thing. Or the fraud that you defrauded. Or the Pekadim, the Pekadim. It's all. Why do we need to repeat it? What's the purpose of the Torah saying it a second time? And okay, so Pashup has emphasis. You know, the God of Shagad, you should know it's a bad thing. But he says a very nice zach, and he tells it with a story from the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer, you know, the Rav of Presburg, Hungarian Jewry, many of the Minhagim that come from Chassam Sofer. There's Talmidim Chassam Sofer, you know, there's Matisdorf Chassam Sofer, everything is Chassam Sofer. It was one of the major halachic influences on Klal Yisrael of a couple hundred years ago. So Chassam Sofer was once a dying in a difficult lawsuit. It says a few days before trials begin, he received a package from one of the litigants. It was a beautiful sterling Kiddush cup. That Friday night, the samsara took a cup out of the velvet pouch and raised it for the entire family to see. Can you imagine? He gets a bribe, one of the litigants. So that means somebody sent him a bribe, which is a chutzpah. I mean, the Chassam Sofer, what the guy was thinking, I don't know, that he thought the Chassam Sofer was going to take a bribe. I don't know, maybe he thought the Chassam Sofer, of course, won't take it, but just the fact that he gave it will make him feel good. I don't know what the man thought. But the Chassam Sofer took it out, and he starts looking at it. And his family's looking like, what's going on here? He says, wow, look how beautiful the Becker is. Do you notice intricate etchings? Must be worth a fortune. And his family's looking on, they're horrified. Chassam Sofer is going to take a bribe? How could that be?
Let me finish the story.
So a minute later, he puts the backer down, and he looks out at everybody, and he focuses, he says, the Torah tells not to take a bribe. He, therefore, I put this beautiful cup away, and I'll never use it. It must be returned to the sender immediately, and he has to be punished for this terrible breach. They tried to make shaykhah. But you're wondering, why did he look at the cup? You must be bewildered why he openly admired it. He says, you know something? I never had the opportunity in my life to turn down a bribe. It never happened to me. So I was never able to be mekayim the mitzvah of not taking bribes. So I wanted to see, look how beautiful this mitzvah is. Look what I've got over here. So I wanted to realize why I was turning down. I wanted to value the Torah's command over an exquisite ornate silver goblet. The more that I'm turning down, the more the mitzvah is. So I want to have a geschmack from the fact that I'm doing the mitzvah behidr. I'm taking something which is a beautiful thing, and I'm saying I'm not going to take it to be a kind of Torah. So it's now that turning down right became like a chafetz shel mitzvah. So he says the same thing over here. He says you have to give back the gzela, but you should know it's gzela asher gozal. You have to realize that you stole it. He says, he gives an example. He says sometimes the kid steals a bike, and 10 years later, when he bikes mean nothing to me, he's driving a car. So do tshuva. When I was a kid, I stole a bike. I shouldn't have stolen the bike. It was wrong of me. But he says, but you have to do it while it's still hot. It's return the gzeil asher gozal that you still feel the geschmack, right? The kleptomania is roaring within the person. I just, you know, got it out of the store, and mamish, I stole it, and I'm feeling good about it. Now's the time to return it. Now's the time to do tshuva when you're still feeling hot about what you had. So that's why it repeats a gzeil asher gozal, oishak asher oshak. Now's the time in order to do it. He says, however, lingering are the stolen items that they stole. Once they're relegated to black and white memories, an almost forgotten crime, sorry is not enough. Now's the time when it's hot. The name is Give It While It's Hot. That's the name of the piece. When something is in a person, when to do tshuva is right after you did the aveira, to say now's the time to do tshuva. Don't wait to do tshuva. I remember when I was in Bachur, the joke in the yeshiva used to go over to somebody and say, excuse me, what time is it during El, right? So you say, what time is it? He says, it's time to do tshuva. That was the joke. It's time to do tshuva. It's always time to do tshuva, you know? But the time to do tshuva is when the person asher gozal, when he's still feeling the geschmack, he's just feeling they stole it. That's it. Don't come back 10 years later and find it in your attic and return it. Return it when the person did it. And that's the reason that we have to feel when we do an aveira, we have to feel it and think about it. And by the way, you're the other way also. That when a person does a mitzvah, he should try and feel the mitzvah while he's doing it. A person has a lulav and esrog, a sukkah, and you eat the matzah, you're going to, you know, the dalet kaisis, feel the geschmack while you're having it. Think about it. Say, I'm doing this because this is a geschmack mitzvah. The Rebbe Bunshin wants me to do this mitzvah. Same with the Chassam Sofer. Made sure to say, this is a mitzvah, and I cherish it. Let us cherish all of our mitzvahs, and then in Mitzvah we'll be different type of people. Okay, then the pasuk we said, so the question is, as we've spoken many times, what is the first word of the pasuk? In pasuk Chav Gimel, same pasuk we just learned, Vahaya, and it will be. Does anybody remember we've always learned, Vayihi is Lashon Tsar, and right, Vahaya is Lashon Simcha. So what's the pasuk say? Vahaya ki yachta? A grace of simcha? It'll be a simcha when you do an aveira? So what's the simcha? And it says, and Vayav Oshin, the Heshav is Exhalen. That what, where's the simcha? So he brings the Sefer Divrei Sholem, that he says that the simcha is that you recognize you did an aveira. When a person recognizes he does an aveira, then the person is able to do tshuva. If a person does not recognize he does an aveira, then the person cannot do tshuva. He brings a pasuk in Yirmiyah, Perek Beis, pasuk Lamed Hei. Pasuk says, Hinini nishbat Isach, Al Omer Omrech, I'm going to judge you because you said Lo Chatasi. I'm going to judge you not because of the Avera. I'm going to judge you because you said I didn't do an Avera. And he brings a Gevaltig Azak that we, that you, and I want to bring three, he's bringing three examples. I think we have time for, yeah, we have the time. Quickly, we'll do three examples. The first one is, of course, is the eagle. And you take a look, and it's very interesting. If you take a look at page 258, and you see all about the eagle. We spoke last week, remember, about Reish Dalet, that was very gishmak. So we talk about the eagle, and the eagle goes on, and Moshe Rabbeinu knows about the eagle, he knows about the eagle, knows about the eagle, and nothing, and he's defending the Klal Yisrael, and everything is good, and he doesn't break the luchas. Moshe Rabbeinu breaks the luchas. Many psukim in. You know when he breaks the luchas? He broke them. Why? Because he saw them dancing b'mechaylais. That's when Moshe Rabbeinu finally could not take it anymore. When he saw them dancing, that's what he said. He said they did a terrible chet. As long as they know they did a chet, they can do tshuva. But he says, but the minute they start dancing, that is the problem. Then they'll not be able to do tshuva. It says in Pasuk Yud Tes, Vayikesher karav l'machna v'yar eso egel u'mechaylois. It wasn't the egel. That's, he didn't break the luchas because of the egel. That wasn't it alone. It's because the mechaylois, because once they dance, they're not going to do tshuva anymore. I was listening to a shiur of Zachary Wallerstein. So he was reading from Kava Yosher. And it's very interesting. The Kava Yosher was talking about the isser of mixed dancing. Of the men and women dance together, the boys and girls dance together. And he made a point. He said, you know, and this Kava Yosher was 350 years ago. And I was thinking, why do you find in all the Sfarim that dancing, mixed dancing, seems to be, they're always, you see it over the years, that they focus on that is the worst. And now I understand it. It's not just it's an Avera, Vad, it's an Avera. It's a Vizraya Darayas. There's no question that it's a terrible Avera. But especially bad, because when a person's dancing, if they're dancing, that means they think it's okay. That means they're besimcha about the Avera. They're not just doing an Avera. They're happy they're doing an Avera. Because they're dancing. Because they're mechaylis. So that's why it's so bad. So he says, that's why Moshe Rabbeinu broke the luchas. When he saw the mechaylis, that already was more than he could handle. And that's what the Ramban says. The Ramban says, Shavarti Kleimar, Sviras haluchas lohoyzai tsa shomaisa egel bavad. Says the Ramban, it wasn't only the egel. Elabir oizzi, Eskan Mesach, when I saw you dancing and laughing, Shoykartan Bechurmasamais, you didn't realize how bad it was. That's when I said I have to break the luchas. I have to shake you out of it. There's a famous mice in the Gemara that there was a chasana, and somebody went to the chasana, and there was a very expensive white glass, and he saw the Talmidim were all having a little bit too good a time, and he took the expensive glass, and he smashed it on the ground, and everybody goes, oh! You know, goes, what was it? He says, I saw you getting carried away. I needed to bring you back to reality. Too much frail, look at you, getting a little bit too much. Second thing, it says by Elisha that he had a servant by the name of Gehazi. Gehazi, I don't know, he's a complicated person. he was Elisha's, but he did some very strange things. So there's two averas specific is brought out. One is after Elisha healed the general, the famous general Naaman, so he said, I won't take any money. And Gehazi went afterwards and he said, you know, he changed his mind. He really wants you to give me some money. You know, the Gabbai always should get something. I want to get something. And the second thing is he did, he was improper with the Isha Shunamis, who helped Elisha very much. He did improper things. And Elisha shakes him out and curses him because of the first thing and not the second. Because of the fact that he did wrong with Naaman, and he doesn't mention about the issue with the Shunamis. Why? One's Arias. And the answer is because when he did with her, he knew it was wrong. He knew he was doing something wrong. So Elisha says he'll do tshuva because he knows it's wrong. But the first thing, he thought he did nothing wrong. He thought I was wrong. He thought I should have taken money I didn't. So now he's going to correct. He's going to go take money. So then I have to tell him you were wrong. So when it's this question that you don't know, when you think you're wrong, so then I have to say something. When you think you're right, I have to say something. When you think you're wrong, I know you'll do tshuva on your own because you really did the wrong thing. And finally, he mentions the Egla Rufa. In the Egla Rufa, he says a very interesting question. Egla Rufa, what's the Egla Rufa? Is that they find a dead body sitting between two cities. And you know the whole story, the Rabbanim come out. And for Kert, we say it's so bad, the Egla Rufa, that the ceremony that the Rabbanim are doing, so say Chazal, Shemais is a haven, that it's not only for him, but it's all the doris. But legal chaprah kol hadoris mitzayis Mitzrayim. All the doris. Shamanas Cain, haitzeh Hashem is Yisrael Mitzrayim. The reason Hashem brought us out, shol yebem rights, there'll be no murderers. So there's a question of murderer. We got to go all out. Frekt and the kasha. And what if you found a murderer? How come we don't make Egla Rufa? One person kills another person, and you saw the murder. How come we don't do it? Then you don't make Egla Rufa. He says, what makes more sense? To make an Egla Rufa, we found somebody who's dead, who maybe died because somebody killed him, and maybe died of natural causes, and maybe he fell into a pit, or maybe an animal got him, and we make the whole Egla Rufa ceremony? Or we should make the Egla Rufa ceremony when somebody really got killed? Should be the other way around. Why not when somebody really got killed make an Egla Rufa? Because it's Reitzchen. And the answer is, because when a person hears that there's Ratzeach, he knows it's no good. He'll say, oy vey, there's Reitzchen, we have to do something about it. But when you find the corpse, everyone will give an excuse. You'll go to shul and they say, Nebuch, they found a dead body. Oh, he probably was depressed. Maybe he committed suicide. Maybe he fell into a hole. Maybe a wild animal's got him. Yeah. Everyone's got excuses. So excuses, then nobody's going to do tshuva. Nobody's going to say we have a problem. So the Targum said, I got to make a big deal out of it. So when it's a vaday, somebody was killed, okay, then you'll do tshuva on your own. But it's not, then a person makes excuses and they don't. So we see this tremendous inyan. Bahoya ki yechata, the biggest simcha. It says, ein tzadik rotsa sheyastai vil yechata. There's no such tzadik that does good. Everybody does an avera. The simcha is when you knew you did the avera and you can correct it, and you can do tshuva, and you try and change yourself, then it's a simcha. If a person thinks they didn't do an avera, then it's a problem. You have nowadays never people, Mechali Shabbos, people don't eat kosher, who knows? They can never do tshuva. Because they never thought they did wrong. Only somebody who understands he did wrong can do tshuva. So Rabbi Shem should give us that simcha, that when we mess up, we do something wrong, we should know it, we should be able to correct it, and we should go on to become the good we can. And we learn from Rabbi Meir Shapiro, Baruch Hashem, that every single day counts. So everything that we do, we should keep in mind that every day we have, if you look from the beginning, in 120 years, times 365, anybody good at math? It's a lot of days. So every single day counts, and that we should, halavai, make every day of our life count as a shem.